Hey, how's everybody doing? Hoping you're having a fantastic day. I am coming at you with another video on the Filioque. Yes, I have probably a few dozen more lined up. There's just a lot of stuff on the Filioque. So we started out with going through Petavius in chapter 3 of his dogmatic theology. We started out with going over those very obvious and explicit mentions of procession of the Holy Spirit. In certain individual Greek fathers. And there's actually many more like that. I actually had to limit myself by a lot. So now we're going to go through in chapter 4, basically what are equivalents to the Filioque. So other statements that imply implicitly by its language the Filioque, or maybe even explicitly, but in an equivalent statement. The Filioque, such as the Son as the source, speaking of him as source rather than the traditional cause or principle, or speaking of the flowing forth rather than speaking of the traditional procession, things like that. And I'm actually going to be getting into explicit statements from the fathers or from other ecclesiastical writers during the era. And as a note, ecclesiastical writer, that just means somebody from the patristic era who's orthodox and who's defending the faith, but is not necessarily a church father. So, those are the things that we're going to be going through today. I'm especially going to be drawing from Cyril. I tried to keep it uniform by keeping it in Cyril, but I have pared it down to a easily accessible way. So, basically, with chapter 4, this is going to be helpful, not as much, I think, in demonstrative proof. Although it will be helpful in that. That is more so the essentially, substantially, physically proceeding and so forth from both and so on. Those are going to be more demonstrative. And we can look and compare the context to see, wow, it's comparing the procession of the Spirit from the Son to the begetting of the Son from the Father and blah, 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 blah. Those are going to be kind of your more, easy proofs right there when you talk to somebody. But with looking at this is going to be helpful with somebody who might start studying the Greek fathers or reading through the Greek fathers themselves or Latin fathers as well, and seeing this type of language used and seeing how the Greek fathers themselves are defining that language. So you can go to a random father, see them call the Son the source or the fountain. Of the flowing forth of the Spirit. And with that, you'll know, hey, this is what Chrysostom says about this language, or hey, this is what Pseudo Athanasius said about this language, or so on and so forth. And we see that they're defining it as this term or that term or equivalent to terms that imply procession or whatever. But before we continue, I just wanted to remind you to pretty please become a patron. This series. It doesn't seem like it, but it actually does take a lot of work, a lot more than most of my other stuff, because I have to track down original sources. I have to do a great deal of translation. It really is a lot of work. And then I have to kind of boil it down into a video style that would be appropriate rather than me just kind of reading off a lot of very dense scholastic theology. Okay. So that's a pretty please out there. If actually most of my videos are getting, I guess, anywhere between 500 and 700 views every time I post about the Filioque. So if just like 2% of you guys became patrons, that would be like 10 to 15 new patrons. That would be fantastic. So definitely consider that. Any amount helps, even something like $5 is much appreciated. Okay, so now to our actual show right here. So I named it the Son as the quote source of the Spirit, but we're going to see that the thesis is going to not only involve source or better translation of source, maybe fount. It's basically, it comes from, and we're going to see this, it comes from John chapter 7 right here. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, but this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So this language of source and flowing forth actually usually takes from this text, and also its equivalents in the Old Testament, especially in Isaiah, Proverbs, and the Psalms, where this language of flowing forth of rivers and source is used often. This actually is used in the book of Revelation as well, except the term for flowing forth is actually what is commonly known as ekperumenon. So that is actually slightly different than we're talking about here. It's actually just the term that's claimed by the Greeks. So Son is source of Spirit. So basically the general argument here is going to be that the Son is said to be the source, and this can also be the fount, and this is pege, again, pronunciation's horrible, so please forgive me, of the Spirit, from which the Spirit is said, and then these are just a bunch of terms meaning flow forth, or what we're going to argue is equivalence to procession. And then the minor premise is going to be that the Greek fathers explain pege as equivalent to hypostatic principle, so basically as aitia, as it's used in the earlier Greek fathers rather than the latter Greek fathers, which I've explained this in other videos, but it's a bit complicated, so I won't go into that right now. And then those other terms are equivalent to hypostatically proceed, which the Greeks are going to say that ekperumenon is the only term which can be used in this way, which is false, as we'll see. Therefore, the conclusion follows that by calling the Spirit source and saying that calling the Son source of the Spirit and saying that the Spirit flows forth from the Son, we're going to be concluding to the filioque. So first, as to the proof of the major, so that pege is used by the Greek fathers, that's all we're looking at now, is that it's just used by the Greek fathers. Again, plenty of other places of some sort of equivalent, like fount or source or whatever, is used. But I just chose this for ease of use. So St. Cyril, in his commentary on John, this is his commentary on John 7:39. It's actually the last paragraph before John 7:40. If you wanted to look it up on your own, it's both public domain and there's a certain PDF out there, which I'm not going to mention where you can find that, but Cyril's commentary on John's very good. Hint. So the quote is, quote, "The Spirit was in the prophets because of the need for prophesying, but now through Christ he dwells in believers, beginning in him first when he became human. As God, there is no distance between him and the Spirit, who springs from him essentially and is his own." So this is an interpretation that Cyril is giving of this text, when we talk about he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Greek fathers are going to say that this can be true, the explanation, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. That this is talking about the Son giving, or the Son as that sort of main fount, which through grace we participate in his sourcing, and from us flow the gifts of the Spirit, just as from Christ flows forth the Spirit himself into us. So that's how the fathers are generally going to interpret this text. So continuing, St. Cyril also speaks about the same text in Dialogue 7. And this is a really good text for showing that it is not merely an energetic procession. So he says, quote, "Addressing the Jews, we will find our Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." And the divine evangelist John, making it abundantly clear, refers to the nature and energy of the Holy Spirit. Notice, nature and energy. So nature is being distinguished from energy here. So it's not merely some sort of energetic procession. It's the nature and the energy of the Holy Spirit that's flowing forth from the Son, saying, "But this he has said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. the pre-sanctified spirit, not imparting his own sanctification to the creatures. This is actually a support right here for the Latin position concerning grace, is that we don't think that grace is somehow the uncreated energies of the spirit, but we do affirm that the spirit is personally present within us, so we don't have this sort of weird distance thing that people accuse us of. But he does not impart his own sanctification to the creatures. If we say it's true, as at least in every distribution it is supposed, that which comes through him to others might perhaps be completely different from him, for he would distribute none of the beings to others, not as himself. So that's a good proof right there. But now the proof of the minor, that this source means basically what the Greeks will say is aitia, or principle. He says in his commentary on John, quote, "Nor is it any objection to conceive of the Son being in the Father as in a source." So this is pege. "For the word source," pege, "here only means the whence." So that whence, or that from which. That's what pege means, that from which. And then this is St. Cyril is explicitly talking about the begetting of the Son from the Father. So the Father is the source of the Son, that from whence the Son comes. This is clearly not merely referring to any sort of temporal or energetic procession, but pege is specifically talking about the term from the whence of the person. So St. John Chrysostom, he has a very long section. This is a very good section where he explains all of these terms and their equivalences, and basically shows that this language of source and flowing forth, both of these, are equivalent to aitia and ekperuetai, or ekperumenon. So he says, but what is the power of proceeds? So what is the power of proceeds? We can think of what is like the meaning of proceeds. So this is ekperuetai. So that the name of generation might be surpassed by scripture, so as not to call it the spirit a son. So the reason we don't say that the spirit is generated is because we don't say that the spirit is a son. It says Holy Spirit, which proceeds from the Father. So this is just a quote from the Gospel of John. It introduces the Spirit as proceeding. So again, we're talking about ekperumenon, like water gushing from a spring. And then it's apopeges. So this is the Spirit proceeding is the water gushing from the spring. So clearly these two are equivalent in the mind of St. Cyril. There isn't this sort of hard and fast, St. John Chrysostom, there isn't this sort of hard and fast distinction that we're going to be drawing. According to what is said about paradise, a river proceeds out of Eden. It proceeds and the spring lives. This is the Pegasei, which the living spring is again, quote, referring back to John 7. The Father is called a spring of living water. So note, according to the prophet Jeremiah, who says, "They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. From the Father, it proceeds." So again, spring of living water flowing forth, that's equivalent to from the Father, it proceeds. What proceeds? The Holy Spirit. How? Like water from a spring. So again, water from a spring proceeds. They're all equivalent right here. Why is this? Because the Spirit is called water. The Savior says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Interpreting this water, the evangelist adds, "Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. Therefore, if the evangelist John, clarifying the Holy Spirit, said, 'the living water,' and the Father says, 'They have forsaken me, the spring of living water,' the spring of the Spirit is the Father. For this reason, it also proceeds from the Father." And then, what I'm showing here is that St. John, in explaining this verse, is using all equivalent terms. For him, there isn't this hard and fast distinction. And actually, when we go back and look at John chapter 7, we're going to see that John chapter 7 is just talking about the eternal procession of the Spirit. And principally, and then secondarily, the giving of gifts of the Spirit, as the Fathers explain. So now the second part. So we looked at Pege, about how Pege is basically the same as the originating term of Ekperoethai, or it's the same as the term for Wens. So these others is going to be Pegazain, and Pegazain, or Prokestai, or Proinai. These are all basically like flowing forth, something coming from a source, as we would think of like a river, basically. And I'm going to show that these are actually equivalent terms to Ekperumenon. So we actually already see it in St. John Chrysostom, because he has this equivalence between Pege and then as the source, and Ekperumenon as the action from the source. So he's already having an equivalence here. So St. Cyril's third letter, he says, "For even though the spirit exists in his own person," that is hypostasis, "and is conceived of by himself, inasmuch as he is the spirit and not the son, yet is he not therefore alien from him. For he is called the spirit of truth, and Christ is the truth, and he proceeds from him." So proexthai par autou, "just as from God the Father." So notice this this comparison being made. The spirit proceeds from the Son, just as the spirit proceeds from God the Father. Very interesting. "Wherefore," he said, "also he shall receive of mine and declare it unto you," which we already went over before when going over Franzlin's interpretation of that passage. "We do not say that by participation is the spirit both wise and mighty, for he is all perfect and unneeding of all good. But since he is the spirit of the Father's might and wisdom," that is the Son, "he is wisdom and might's very self." So we're going to see that these terms are just treated as completely equivalent. So this is the first one is from either Athanasius or Didymus. It's not clear which one of these it's from, but either way, it's an ecclesiastical writer. And even then, it's still somebody who knows the Greek language a heck of a lot better than we do. So it says, "By nature holy, by nature good, by nature incorruptible, by nature immortal, as the Spirit of God, and emanating from him or proceeding." So emanating for him, from him or proceeding, or some have it, that is proceeding. So we see Pegazon and Ekperumenon are seen as equivalent terms. They're not seen as somehow having each these little discrete separate meanings to them. And then there's also a 5th century anonymous work, which had been attributed to St. Athanasius, but it's basically anonymous, against the Anomians. So it says, "The spirit does not have a creator, but it is not without a cause." So an aiteon, so without a cause. "For it has God as its cause," aiteon, "not as its creator, but as its own source." So pagan. So this also shows the equivalence between aiteon and pagan. "Just as a spring does not produce from outside the water it provides, but has it gushing forth from itself, in the same way, God is the source," pagan, "of the spirit, as has been said, and its provider, not taking it from outside, but making it flow." So pagazon, from himself. So, again, these terms are all equivalent and used interchangeably, and actually expressed as being equivalent. So that is all I have for these. Basically, what I wanted to show in this stream was that the terms have a sort of basic equivalence when the fathers sit down and explain what they are talking about. So as always, thank you and God bless.